The Eddie B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Masechet Yomah has been dedicated in memory of Mazal Bat Esther Baghdadi and Yosef Ben Mazal Baghdadi by their family. Ruach Hashem Tanihem Began Eden. Amen. Today's daf has been dedicated by North Fork Bank and its private banking department with Gabriel Safti. Hashem Yishmerehu V'Hayehu. We would like to thank North Fork Bank and urge our listeners to patronize this generous financial institution. On a private note, we'd like to thank Mr. Gabriel Safti for his continued support for all our programs here at Daf Yomi, Torah Learning Resources, and the Torah Center. Teskele Mitzvot. Today's Daf has been dedicated in memory of Yosef ben Mazal and Shlomo Rafael ben Mazal. Ruach Hashem Tanihem Began Eden. Amen. Daf Nun He. Today's daf is being studied Le'ilui Nishmat Avraham ben Esther. Ruach Hashem Tanichenu Began Eden. Amen. Today's daf is being studied Le'atzlachat Hayale Sava Le'Yisrael Be'yabasha Be'aviru Be'yam. Please, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give them success against all the enemies. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should protect the residents throughout Eretz Yisrael, specifically in the north. And Be'azrat Hashem, Yisrael Yishkon Navetach Uva L'Sion Goel. Amen ve'amen. We begin today's daf on Dal Amud Sheni, and actually we're on the bottom line. Natal et adam mimi shememares bo. So the Mishnah said the Kohen Gadol would take the blood from the one that was mixing it, and he would go into the Kodesh Kodashim, and he would sprinkle the blood, one lema'ala and seven lemata, and it says he would do it in a style of matzlif. So the Gemara asks, "Mai kim matzlif? What is this kim matzlif?" Mahve Rav Yehuda. So Rav Yehuda showed with his hands kim nageda, like the one that whips somebody. What does it mean? The one that whips somebody. Tap Rashi. Kim nageda, kim makeh b'tzua, shematchil min haketafayim u'makeh v'olech lemata. When the person is whipping somebody, he starts on the shoulders and he progressively goes down. So the second hit is lower, then the next one is lower. So the same thing with the bloods. The first drop was on top, and then the second ones were below it. So basically, you had eight drops in a row in a perfect line. Comes Gemara says Tana, kishihu mazeh. When he sprinkles eno mazeh ala kaporet. So now the Gemara says a very important chidush. Don't think that when he sprinkles the blood, when he's facing the Aron in the Kodesh Kodashim, don't think he sprinkles it on the Aron itself, meaning on the kaporet, on the cover of the Aron. Ela keneged ovyashil kaporet. He does it parallel to the kaporet, which means really, as we saw, it lands on the floor or in the Eben Ashtiyah when there was no Aron in front of the kaporet. Now, kishu mazeh, when he sprinkles lema'ala, now it's going to give us the position of his finger at the time of the sprinkling. Now, of course, the Kohen has to dip his blood in, his finger in the blood first and sprinkle. So the Gemara says, kishu mazeh lema'ala, when he's sprinkling the first drop, that's lema'ala, that goes on top, mitzaded yado lemata. He positions his hand facing down. What does that mean? Look at the third line in Rashi. Kishu mazeh, achat lema'ala, mitzaded gav yado lemata. Which means the gav, this would be the back of his hand, would be lemata. So he's sprinkling with his finger down, the palm of his finger facing up, and he sprinkles in that position. And he just, you know, throws the blood. So look at Rashi again. The gav, the back of his finger is down. He sprinkles in an upward motion. Okay. Now, when he does the subsequent seven that are below, mitzaded yado lema'ala umazeh. So in that case then, the gav yad is facing up, and he sprinkles down. So when we say Ahat Lema'ala, it's going up, his finger is in an upward motion, and when he's going Lemata, his finger is in a downward motion. So let's read that in the third line of the Gemara. Shehu mazeh Lemata, mitzaded yado Lema'ala. Mitzaded yado meaning his the back of his finger, right? Or the back gav yado would be facing up if he's sprinkling it down. Okay, comes Gemara and says, "Mina nemile." How do we know this? That she says, "How do we know what? That you don't sprinkle on the kaporet itself. That you only sprinkle in front of the kaporet." Nashim mina nemile. The eno mazeh al kaporet otan shetaim. Ahad shel ma'ala bepar v'ahad shel ma'ala b'seir. Now you have to remember there was two times he sprinkled in the Kodesh Kodashim. First the par. Then after he finished the pot, he went out and brought the sa'ir blood, came back in. So both sprinklings, when it says ahat lema'ala, don't think it was lema'ala on the parochet, on the kaporet. It was, on the kaporet, that's the cover of the aron. It was on the ground in front of the kaporet. How do you know that? How do you know the sprinklings in the Kodesh Kodashim were not on the kaporet themselves? Amar Rav Habar Yaakov, Amar Rabbi Zera. So what the Gemara is basically going to do now is give us the sources for the fact that these were done on the ground. Amar Kera, because we have a pasuk, it says, Vihiza oto ala kaporet, vilifne akaporet. Now, this pasuk over here, the full pasuk, says, and I read, it's in Vayikra, tet zayin tet vav. Veshachat et ha-sa'ir ha-hatat. Okay, this is the pasuk by the sa'ir. Asher la'am, ve'bi et damon lebet ha-parochet, it brings the blood beyond the parochet, the Kodesh Kodashim, ve'asa et damon, kasher asa ledam ha-par, ve'hiza oto, you will sprinkle it ala kaporet, vilifne hakaporet. So these are the key words we have to analyze. Again, we're by the sa'ir. The words are viza oto lif oto ala kaporet. It literally means on the kaporet. Vilifne hakaporet. So now comes the Gemara and says, lo yomar lemata b'se'ir. By this pasuk of the se'ir, it does not have to mention ולפני הכפורת. על הכפורת means the one למעלה, and לפני הכפורת means the ones למטה. Okay? Now, you would not have to tell me, the Gemara says, לפני הכפורת. The sprinkling below. Why? זה לא צריך. It's unnecessary. Why is it unnecessary? זה גמר ממטה דפר. Because by the par's sprinkling, it clearly says that you'll sprinkle לפני הכפורת, Sheva pe'amim, and we know that the pasuk says ve'asa et damo kasher asa ledam hapar. So therefore, whatever is applicable to the par is applicable to the sa'ir. Now, by the par, it specifically says you will sprinkle lifnei akaporet sheva pe'amim. So we know how many times even you have to sprinkle, because nowhere by the side does it tell us the number of sprinklings. So obviously the number you're going to have to learn from par. So just like you're learning the number from par, learn the whole concept from par, because anyway the pasukim are connected, because it says in the pasuk again, ve'asai damo kashir asa ledam par. So the Gemara says that the words lifnea kaporet by sa'ir are totally extra. You don't need it. You could have learned the lematas from par. Ah, lama ne'emar. So why did it say lifnei akaporet? La'akushe al lelifnei. So to make a hekesh, to make a connection between the al hakaporet to the lifnei akaporet, to the one that's al and the one that is lifnei. What? Ma lifnei. Just like the ones that are lifnei akaporet. And lifnei akaporet clearly is in front of the kaporet. There's no argument on the lemata ones. Because lefnei kaporet means in front of the kaporet. So we all agree, we didn't need any chidush to tell us that the ones that are lefnei kaporet are not on the kaporet itself. So he says, ma lefnei de lava'al, just like the lefnei kaporet sprinklings are not on the kaporet, afa'al de lava'al. So to the ala kaporet sprinkling is not al. That's what we did here. We did is we compared the al to lifne, or by sa'ir. Because the words lifne by sa'ir are extra. You don't need those words. The word lifne I could have learned from par. Once they're extra, deraja. Compare lifne and al. And say like this, just like the lifne, the ones that you're sprinkling, which are the seven, it's clearly not on the kaporet, it's lifne kaporet. It's on the floor before the kaporet. So too when it says ala kaporet, that's the first one that you're sprinkling, it's also lifne. Meaning, not lifne, meaning it's not al. It's not on the kaporet, just above the other ones. So therefore, the Gevaraz Lashon be, ma lifne de lav al. Just like the lifne sprinklings are not on the kaporet, af'al, so too when it says ala kaporet, de lav al. It's not al, it's not exactly on. So basically what the Gemara did over is hekesh. So that's the first understanding. The Gemara says, hold it, I can go another way. I can go in the opposite direction. Adrabah. Adrabah, on the contrary. Lo yomar lemala bepar. Oh. Now we're going to go to the par pasuk. By the par pasuk, it tells me the following. V'shachat v'lakach midam apar. I'm just reading you the pasuk so you get clarity. V'lakach midam apar. V'iza be'etzmo al pene ha-kaporet kedma. V'lifne ha-kaporet yazeh sheva pa'amim min adam be'etzmao. So the pasuk says by the par, al pene ha-kaporet, right, al. And then it says v'lifne ha-kaporet. So here the Gemara on this, at this point, what's wrong is, you know what? You don't have to tell me by the par lemala. Why? Because de lo tzarich. It's unnecessary. Why is lemala not necessary by par? De gamar mimala de sa'ir. Because by the sa'ir, it tells us that you have to sprinkle ala kaporet. And if you remember by the sa'ir pasuk, it says, the word oto teaches me how many times you have to sprinkle? One. So the number of top sprinklings, of lemala sprinklings, is only written by sa'ir. It's not written by par. Now you're getting a little clear. By par, it tells you the number of lemata sprinklings. By sa'ir, it tells you the number of lema'la sprinklings. So the Gemara is like this. Once you're telling me by the sa'ir that the lema'la sprinkling is one, and we know that the two sa'ir and par are learned from each other, so therefore you don't have to tell me lema'la by par. Anyway, I have to learn it from the sa'ir. Because by the lema'la, by the par, doesn't tell me how many times you sprinkle. So therefore, anyway, you're learning it from the par, right? So therefore, don't say it. Oh, so lama ne'emar. So then why does it say lema'la by par? La kushe lifne le'al. I'll make a hekesh between the lifne of the par and the al of the par. And I'll say, ma'al, al mamash. Oh, I guess this is way. Just like al means on the kaporet itself, af lifne al mamash. So to lifne, when it says by the par, it means mamash. Which means the Gemara in this version is saying, I go the other way. Start from par. And tell me, you know what? The word al by par is superfluous. And therefore, I'll tell you, you know what the al is coming to tell you? Derasha. Compare lifne to al. And I'll say, just like al is mamash, once I'm starting from al, I can say al is mamash. Maybe that when you're sprinkling the first ones on the kaporet, so to the lifne, the other seven are also on the kaporet. So now the Gemara is really doing, it's offering two different ways to learn. Tremendous nafkamina between the two ways. Is it on the kaporet or not? I mean, that's the major nafkamina. So the Gemara says, hai mai. Which basically is asking, all right, which side is more plausible? So the Gemara says, "I amar pishlama." If you're going to say lemata de se'id la akushe, if you want it's like the first version, that what we're comparing the limata to the limala by the sa'ir. And we're saying, just like the limata is not al, so too the al is not al, like the first way. Limala de par miv'ile. Good. We could say that the limala of par is used, which means you got to use every word, right? So you're saying, we have two extras basically over here. We have the limata. We have the limata by sa'ir, that is extra. That the extra is it. The limata of sa'ir is extra. And the limala of par is extra. So the Gemara says, if you learn the limata of the sa'ir to the limala of the sa'ir, so you took care of those, that pasuk. So what do we got left over to Doresh? Well, you have the limala of par, that's extra. No problem, we have a derasha for that. I can use it for the following braita. When it says al pene, the pasuk is not coming to tell you al, because I know al already from sa'ir. So you know what it's coming to tell me? Zebana'av. It's a principle to teach me in all places called Makom Shneemar Pene Eno Ela Kadim. Whenever it says Pene, it's always to the east. Meaning when you're sprinkling, let's say, in front of the Kaporet, it's really to the east of the Kaporet. Remember, the Kaporet's in the west, right? Kaporet's the west. When you're facing the Kaporet, correct? So now, you sprinkle the first one, correct? That's on top. Now, it's to the east of the Kaporet, and then the subsequent sprinklings are going, which direction?
East.
They're going east. So you see, whenever you sprinkle, the direction that you're going is east. That's what he was telling me. Al-Peneh teaches me that anytime you make a sprinkling in the Kodesh Kodashim, you should know it always goes in an easterly direction. Mm-hmm. Should know that. It's always like that. Now, so very good. So if you go with that version, all the words have meaning they all have dirash on it. I repeat. By the sa'ir, what's my extra words? The pene. Let me explain to you why by the sa'ir the words al pene are extra. Because by the par, it tells me already, lifne yaze sheva pa'amim. So I know lifne by par, and I know the number, how many times. So it's explicit. Once you're telling me all the information by par, lifne zayin pa'amim, by sa'ir, don't say anything. Not necessary. I could learn sa'ir from par. And you still went out of your way to tell me lifne by the sa'ir. Must be for dirasha purposes. And what dirasha? To compare lifne hakaporet ta'al hakaporet of sa'ir. And say, just like lifne, well lifne means lifne, not on the kaporet in the front. So too when it says al, it also means in front, not on. Beautiful. So we learned the concept, nothing's on the kaporet. Oh, but you got one more extra derashah. By the par, it doesn't have to say al. Let's talk it out. Why doesn't it have to say al by the par? Because by sa'ir, it says the word al, yaze otot. The number of al is written by sa'ir, yaze otot. And therefore, I could learn par from sa'ir. Again, by Sa'ir, what does it say? The Lashon is, and I'll quote it to you, by Sa'ir, correct? It says, right, V'asa ledam apar v'iza oto al hakaporet. So clearly the al, v'iza oto is written by Sa'ir. You don't need it to be written by par. So basically, what is it coming to teach me? Come on, I haven't done for that, no problem. It's not coming to tell you al, it's not coming to tell you that. I learned that from Sa'ir. The pasuk by par is a different hadush. Whenever you sprinkle al, whenever you sprinkle in the kodesh, east. It's always eastward. Meaning the sprinkles go kedma. So all is accounted for. So comes again when al pinei kaporet kedma. Beautiful. Comes again what Ran says. Okay, so that side of the logic fits in. Elai amart. But if you're going to go the second way. What's the second way? Lemala de par le akushe. You're going to tell me the other way. That really the drash is starting from the par. Because you told me really lemala of par is extra. And therefore make a derasha lemala al to lifne. And say just like al is al, So too lefne is al as well. Oh, so then we got a question. Lemata de sa'ir lemayata. So then the lemata of sa'ir, what is it coming to do? Which is this version, you have extra words that aren't accountable for. So therefore the first version must be the real version. And that's the opinion of Rav Haber Yaakov. So again, basically what the Gemara did, it proposed two different ways of learning with a tremendous nafka minah between the two ways. And then the Gemara is concluding and saying, you got to say it's the first way. Because in the second way, there's extra words by the Sa'ir. Why would it say Lemata by Sa'ir? Good. Comes the Gemara and says, Tanu Rabbanan, we have a Braita. Okay. Tell me, we have a brighter. Viza oto al kaporet. Vilifne hakaporet. That's written by the Sa'ir. It says the pasuk viza oto. That's one. Al hakaporet. That's the first one. Al. Lamadnu kama lema'la b'sa'ir. We learned how many are lema'la by the Sa'ir. Ahat. Good, one. Lemata b'se'id eni yodaya kama. But the lemata, I don't know. Because by the sa'id itself, it does not tell me the number. Hareni dan. So I could learn. I'll make a derash. What will I say? Ne'imru damim lemata b'par. It says the words dam by the par. Ve'ne'imru damim lemata b'se'id. And it also says dam lemata by sa'id. Ma lemata b'par sheva. Aflemata b'se'ir sheva. Very good. I'll learn it from par. Like we said. Gemara says, oh, klach lederich zu. Or maybe go a different road. How? Ne'emru damim lema'la b'se'ir. By sa'id itself, it says, the lema'la. How many times lema'la? One. Ve'ne'emru damim lemata b'se'ir. And it also says dam lemata b'se'ir. Maybe learn Sa'ir to Sa'ir. And tell me, just like by Sa'ir, the Lema'la is one, maybe the Lema'ta is one. So basically, the Gemara's question is, what's the better Dirash? Is it better to learn Mata from Mata, or which is Sa'ir to Par, or keep it all in Sa'ir and just learn Ma'la and Mata? That's really the question of the Gemara. Tremendous nafkamina. Nafkamina is the Mata 1 or is the Mata 7? Nir'eh lemi dome. Well, let's see what is more analogous. Danin Mata mimata. Do you want to learn Mata mimata? Meaning Mata of the Sa'ir from Mata of the Par, which would give me 7. Ve'en danin Mata milima'la. You don't learn Mata milima'la of the Sa'ir itself. Or Adraba. I could say the contrary. Danin gufo migufo. Learn sa'ir from sa'ir. The end danin gufo me'alma. You don't learn sa'ir from something else in the world, meaning fapar. Tamud lomar. This is what you said, David. Ve'asa edamo kasher asa edam apar. So you're right. That's exactly the Gemara's point. The Gemara's like, we have a clip pasuk. And you'll do its blood of sa'ir like you did to the par. Now, Mudomar Kashir Asa. You don't have to tell me Kashir Asa. Meaning it is superfluous. Means already we know that there's a deen of Haza'a by the Sa'ir. That tells us you have to be Mazi'ah, Lifne. So what is the Pasuk coming to tell me? Kashir Asa Ledamapar. If you didn't write Haza'a at all by Sa'ir, I understand Kashir Asa, because you tell me the law. But it talks about Haza'a by the Sa'ir. So why does that have to tell me Kashir Asa ledam apar? Umatabu domar Kashir Asa, shiukol asiyotav shavot. The Hadush is to tell me that all the sprinklings are the same. Keshem shelemata bepar sheva, kach lemata b'se'ir sheva. Lamadnu kama lemata bepar b'se'ir sheva. Period. Very good. So we solved that lemata issue. Now we're going to solve the lemala issue of par. Because that's also unknown. By par, it says al, but it doesn't tell me how many times. So the Gemara is going to ask the same line of reasoning. Do you learn it from Sa'ir or do you learn it from itself? Gemara says, Lemarla bepar eni yodei akama. Like the lemarla by par, I don't know how many sprinklings, but any done. Le'emru damim lemarla b'sa'ir. It says lemarla by Sa'ir. Le'emru damim lemarla bepar. Ma lemarla b'sir ahat. Af lemarla bepar ahat. Either learn par from Sa'ir or learn one. Or klak le'derekzu, go a different way. Le'emru damim lemata bepar. It says damim by par lemata. Ve'ne'emru damim lemala bepar. And it says lemala as well. Ma'al lemata bepar sheva. Just like by lemata the par is seven. Af lemala bepar sheva. Same exact gemara, now just going on the par side. Now, nir'eh lemidome. Now, I've got to see what is more similar to learn. Danin ma'ala mima'ala. Do we learn ma'ala lemala, mean the ma'ala of the par from the ma'ala of Sa'id? Then danin ma'ala mimata. And you don't learn ma'ala mimata from par to par itself. Or adraba, danin gufo mi gufo. Or maybe I learn similars, meaning par to par. Then danin gufo me'alma. And you don't learn par from Sa'id. Tamud omar, back to the same deraz, be'asa et damo kasher asa. Again, you will make the bloods of the sa'ir like you did to the pot. To teach me what? Shein tamud lomar kasher asa. You don't have to tell me kasher asa. We know that they both have asa. Not tamud lomar kasher asa. Shiukol asiyotav shavot. Keshem shelemata bepar. Sheva. Kach lemata besa'ir sheva. Ukshem shelemala besa'ir achat. Kach lemala bepar achat. So basically the Gemara is giving you the same did Ash now, yeah, because I have to say both ways. Because you have two unknowns over here. The unknown by the Sa'ir is the Lemata, and the unknown by the Par is the Lemala. So it's all the Gemara, you're right. It's a repetitive line of reasoning, but you got to speak it out twice. Because you're learning Par from Sa'ir and Sa'ir from Par. If you remember in the Mishnah, when he's doing the countings, the Mishnah tells us, or the sprinklings, there's a specific way the Kohen Gadol is supposed to count. When he sprinkles the first one, not with his finger, he says ahat. Then when he does the second one, which is below it, he says ahat ve'ahat. Which really he's repeating the first one, not that he's sprinkling it again, he's repeating ahat. And then he says ahat. Then he goes to the next one, ahat ushtayim. Mean one, and then he does the second one beneath it. And so ahat v'shalosh, ahat v'arba, until he gets to ahat v'sheva. So all together he's sprinkling eight drops, the one on top and the seven subsequent. So the Gemara is going to analyze this style of counting what he's doing. So comes the Gemara and says, ahat, ahat v'ahat, ahat ushtayim. Taru rabbanan, ahat, that's the first one. Ahat v'ahat. Ahat ushtayim, ahat v'shalosh, ahat v'arba, אחת וחמש, אחת ושש, אחת ושבע. דברי רבי מאיר. Now we're going to follow our גרסה. This is the opinion of רבי מאיר. רבי יהודה אומר, אחת, אחת ואחת, שתיים ואחת, שלוש ואחת, ארבע ואחת, חמש ואחת, שש ואחת, שבע ואחת. Which means, we have a great מחלוקת here, what do you put first? Do you put do you put the ahat first, meaning the lemahla one first, always? Or do you always put a coin to the B, the new one, meaning the one that you keep on adding first? Kavz Gemaran says, velo peligi. There's really no mahloket over here in halakha, it's just mor ki atre umor ki atre. Each rabbi was just following the custom of his town, how they count. This was just a minhag. Meaning, she's going to says like this. There's certain people, let's say when you have a number in Hebrew, let's say you're counting 21, 22, 23. So some count, Esrim v'ahat, Esrim ushtayim, Esrim v'shalosh. Meaning, you always keep the Esrims, the general number, the universal number stays, and then you change the second number. You add 3, 4, right? That's the number. And therefore, that would be like the Bibi'ir. Should you keep the universal number Ahat? Ahat Ushtayim. Ahat Ushalosh. Like by Eslim. Eslim stays, and you're just changing the... Mm-hmm. Right? Or do you go the other way? Do you say, Shalosh Ve'eslim. Arba ve'isrim. Hamisha ve'isrim. And therefore, you're putting the singular number first, and then you're putting the universal number second. So therefore, in this case, over here, according to Rabbi Meir, it's a hat. Well, a hat, everybody agrees. And a hat, the hat, everybody agrees. It starts from the shtayim. Shtayim ve'ahat. Right? You're putting the universal number second, and you're putting the shtayim, which is the number that changes, first. Mm-hmm. So that's the machloket, not in halakha, just machloket in custom of how do people count. Let's read that in Nashi. Mor ki atre. Be'atre derbi mi'ir monin minyan klal tehila. First they will put the universal, we'll call it number first. Ve'arkach prat. Then they put the singular digit after, or the specific. Kigon, esrim ve'ahat. Esrim ushtayim. Same thing by the blood. Ahat ushtayim. Ahat ve'shoyim. Always the universal number stays first. That's the number that's not changing. Okay? Ubatred Rabbi Yehuda prat tehila. They put the prat first. The number that's changing first. Shtayim ve'esrim. Shalosh ve'esrim. And they put the universal number second. Okay, comes the Gemara and says, "V'kodahadma miha," but everybody agrees. Hazari shona sricha minyan im kol ahat ve'ahat. For some reason, everybody holds you got to always count that first one with every sprinkling. Ahat, ahat ve'ahat, ahat. No matter where you put it, but bottom line, it's got to be there. So the question is, my tama, what's the reason why you always have to recount the first one? Rabbi Azar Amar, shelo yit'e behazaot. So you don't make a mistake in the hazaot. How does this help you from not making a mistake? So look at Rashi's lashon. Shelo yit'e, shiyeh lo shahut bintayim latet libo leminyan shelo yit'e. It's just a buffer to give you an extra second to calculate where you're up to. Instead of just sprinkling ahat, shtayim, shalosh, arba, ahat, slow you down, ahat, ve'ahat, ahat, ushtayim, ahat, ve'shalosh. So it's order to give him, exactly, to give the person a moment thought in order to calculate. Another explanation is given amongst the Rishonim is so he doesn't make a mistake, because if he's going to say ahat, and then he's going to start the next one, he might say shtayim. And then he's going to end up at seven, and it's going to be short one. So we want to separate between the ahat and then the subsequent seven. Right? We don't want to say ahat, and it's, oh, ahat, shtayim, shalosh, arba, I mean, sheva, and then a short one. So therefore, always remind yourself that the ahat he did is separate, and start again a second count. That's the first answer. Comes Gemara, gives another answer. Rabbi Yohanan Amar Kera ve'lefnei ha-kaporet yazeh. It says he has to sprinkle in front of the kaporet. She'en Talmud lomar yazeh. It does not have to say in the pasuk yazeh. Umat Talmud lomar yazeh, because it says in the beginning of that pasuk, I'll quote it to you. The pasuk says ve'lakach midam apar ve'hiza ve'etzba'o. So right away we know ve'hiza. We know what you're doing with the blood. You're sprinkling. Then it says ve'lefnei ha-kaporet yazeh. You just told me ve'iza. What do you have to tell me? Yazeh. Limed al hazaa rishona shesiricha minyan im kol ahad ve'ahad. The repetition of the word yazeh comes and tells me that the first sprinkling always has to be counted. Now, my benayu, what's the halachic ramification between the two answers? Is it either a gezerat ha-katuv like Rabbi Yohanan, or is it a shema yit'e? Shelo yit'e, according to Rabbi Elazar. Let's say the Kohen did not count. He didn't count ahat. He didn't repeat the ahat always. And he didn't make a mistake. According to Rabbi Eliezer, it's okay. According to Rabbi Elazar, you're okay. It's not a mandatory item you have to count. We're just counting so you don't make a mistake. If you happen to count, you didn't make a mistake. Good luck, it's okay. But according to Rabbi Yohanan, it's because it's not the katuv. Then do it not making mistakes. Do I want you, for whatever reason, to always count the first one? So if you didn't do it, even though you didn't make a mistake, lo yatzai, you'd have to do it again. Comes the Gemara and says, yatza v'nicho al kana zahab shebaichal. Okay, so we learned the great machloket in our Mishnah. You took the pot's blood now, after you finished sprinkling it, you went into the hechal, to the closet that stands.
and they would put the blood in the stand, okay, and then they would take the blood of the sa'ir. According to Tanakhama, that was in the second stand. You had two stands. Take it in and go and sprinkle it. Rabbi Yehuda said, no, you only have one stand. So he held, when you take the par's blood, when you go bring the par's blood, you take the sa'ir blood out and you put the par's blood in the same stand. Right. What's the logic of Rabbi Yehuda? He's right, you might confuse the bloods. You might mix it up. If you have two stands, you might end up taking the wrong blood in. So therefore, at once, you can make a mistake, because you're always switching par, you take the sa'ir, but you have two, you can end up taking from the wrong one. Now the Gemara is going to point out, obviously the Biyuda does not hold that writing is a legitimate siman. Because technically, why don't you put two stands, put a sign. This is the par blood, and this is the sa'ir blood. You're worried about mistakes, right? So put two and put a sign. So the Gemara is going to prove, obviously the Biyuda holds, people don't read signs. Which means even with signs, it's still possible to make a mistake. Putting a sign is not foolproof. So therefore, you got to just put one stand. So the Gemara is going to start with that. Gemara says, Tenanatam. We learned over there. Where is over there? That would be in Yerushalmi, Shekalim. Okay. Learned. Rabbi Yehuda Omer. Rabbi Yehuda says, Lo ayu shofarot lekine choba. If you remember, we learned in Shekalim that they used to have shofarot. They used to have boxes that were in the shape of a shofar. Mm-hmm. And people would put monies in these shofarot. And then the Kohanim would empty them out. Mm-hmm. And each shofar represented a different korban, for example. And whatever the korban was, the Kohanim would buy money with it and bring it for those people that put the monies in those shofarot. So he says, there was no shofar for kinei chova. Kinei chova means the birds of obligation. Now, for example, if a lady is a zav, or a zava, or a yoledet, or somebody that went into the mikdash, tameh, all these people have something in common. They must bring a bird for atonement. Now, kinei chova is a hatat. So you have to bring a korban hatat. So the Gemara says, they have to come to the Beit HaMikdash directly and give it to the Kohen. They didn't put their monies for the kinei chova in a shofar and then let the Kohen deal with it. Why? So he says, because he was worried about mixture. So the Gemara says, "My mipnei ta'arovet." What do you mean mixture? So Amar of Yosef, mipnei ta'arovet choba bin daba. You're worried that the monies of chova might get mixed up with the monies of nedaba. Let's review the laws here. A person wants to bring a bird nedaba. Kinei nedaba, you can do that. Kinei nedaba always is ola. Kinei chova is chatat. Obviously, you can't bring a chatat nedaba. So what are we worried about? We're worried that you have two shofarot now. You got one for kinei chova, one for kinei nedaba. What's going to happen maybe? The Kohen is going to get mixed up, the money is getting mixed up. Now, he's bringing from nedaba money chova, or from chova money nedaba. So the biyu, that's consistent. You know, don't get involved. He's worried about mixtures. Look at that sheet, bottom of that sheet. Ta'arovet choba bin daba. Shemi yitchalef shofar b'shofar. V'yakrib mima'ot shofar ha'chova nedaba. Or, mishel nedaba choba. V'tipasel. Why? Sha'chova achat lechatat v'achat le'ola. By the choba, he brings two birds. One is ola, one is chatat. V'nedaba kulan olot. V'en ma'aseh ola ma'aseh chatat shavin. They don't bring them the same way. So comes the Gemara and says, "Amar of Yosef, mepnei ta'arovet choba bin daba, amar le'abaye v'na'avi tere." So he says, "Why don't you make two shofarot v'nichtov alayu hed choba v'hed daba?" Like, we put signs up. This is the nedaba one. This is the choba one. Why can the Kohen make a mistake? Rabbi Yehuda le ketiba. He doesn't hold that ketiba. You can't rely on signs. Look at the top of Rashi. Ain somchin al kach, the zimnin de lava datel liayun ebechidba, because he doesn't always read the sign, and therefore it's consistent to what he said over here, that the reason in our Mishnah why you don't put two cans, right, and put a sign on top is because people don't read. Ditnan, and here's the Gemara's proof. The Biyuda omer lo haya sham ela kan echad bilvad. There was only one stand. Today my tamalo. Mishum de mechalfeh. Right? Because they're going to get mixed up. V'na'aditre v'lechtov alayu hedepar v'hedesa'ir. Right? Put two stands and put two signs. Which is the part which is za'ir? Ela Rabbi Yehuda let le ketiba. Now the Gemara is going to challenge this. Metive, we have a question. Again from a Mishnah that we learned in Shekalim. Shalosh esre shofarot hayu b'mikdash. There was 13 shofarot that were in the Mikdash. Right? That's what the shofarot that they used to use to collect different funds. Now, what were they? V'ya katuv alehen. The following things were written on the shofarot. We would call them like charity boxes. Right? That was the old version of a charity box that they would put monies in for different purposes. Number one, taklin hatin. What was taklin hatin? Taklin shekalim hadashim. As we know, starting from Rosh Chodesh Adar, they would go around and collect the shekalim for the new fiscal year for the Beit HaMikdash, which starts in Nisan. Okay, so long as you're before next Nisan, you're able to give monies to the Beit HaMikdash for the korbanot. So that would have a special box. Taklin hatin, as we learned in Shekalim, they would empty out those boxes three times a year, right before the holidays, and they would again have them put out again, and you would fill them up, whoever was late. But you had a year to make your donations. That was taklin hatin. Okay, let's read Rashi as we go by here. Look at taklin hatin. Actually, by the way, I want to read the Rashi before the Meshuv de Mechalfe. Just the Rabbi Yehuda's logic is you worry about the blood of the Sa'id and the blood of the Par are going to get mixed up. So he says, I'avitre, if you're going to make two stands, maniyap mizrak sa'ir alze, v'shil Par alze. Good, you'll put one on the Sa'id and one on the Par. Usheba lakad edam par. Right, was he going to come to take the blood of the Par? Ta'amim shenit halef lo v'notel etchil Sa'id. He might take the blood of the Sa'id. Hilka kideka elahad, but if he only has one stand, lo manachai adeshakil hai. He can't take one until he can't put down one until he takes the other one. So it's automatic. V'nimsu avodot kesedran. Shil sa'ir ahar par, b'fnim v'shil par ahare ba'echal. Like I should say, then you're definitely going to go in order. Because inside the par went first, then the sa'ir. And outside the sa'ir went first, then the par. But we're worried if you're not going to have this system, you might do the side first, inside, and you're doing it out of order. That's not good. Now, taklin atin, nashi. Ala ehad taklin atikin. Now, she's just giving you the order. Let's read the Gemara then. On the first one, you wrote taklin atin, which is nu shekalim. The taklin atikin. Then the next one said shekalim yeshanim, old ones. That's going to be talking about a guy, he missed it. He's late. So now, if he puts it in a special box, and that was not used for the korbanot anymore, because it's not really, you have to use this year's shekalim, so they would use it for kayitz ha-mizbeah, they would use it for something else, for the feeding the mizbeah for korbanot. The kinin, okay, kinin was the birds. The gozle ola, people that had to bring a korban ola from gozalot, as a type of bird as well. The etzim, the wood box, the wood shofar. Ulbona, frankincense. The zahav lakaporet, gold for the kaporet, which we'll see what that means. Vishishal indaba, and six other boxes that were all just for different types of nedabot. Now the Gemara explains. Taklin hatin. What is this box called? Taklin hatin. Elu shekalim shel kol shana v'shana. That's the regular box that collected the shekalim. Rashi, mi she'alav levi shekle shana zu shelo evi'an be'adar. He missed the beginning. I didn't bring it in Adar. Mivian kol sha'ashirze. He can bring whatever he wants. Vinotnam b'shofar shel taklin hatin. V'gizbarin notnim otam b'lishka. The gizbarin, the treasurers, would put it in the lishka and the treasury. V'tormim mehem shalosh shakupot b'fros ha'pesla b'fros ha'asir b'fros ha'ag. Right? And they would put it into three, emptied into three boxes before Pesach, before Shavuot, and before Sukkot. Okay, that was taklin hatin. Gemara, taklin atikin, mishelo shakal ishtakad, somebody that did not bring last year's shekel, yishkol lishana abba'ah. He could bring it the next year, but he got to put it in a separate box. Why? Look at Rashi, yishkol lishana abba'ah, v'notin lishavash shetaklin atikin, v'gizbarin notin otan lishiyere lishkash ishtakad. Now, wow, I'm sorry, what do they do with this money?
Shibehen bonin chomat ta'ir. It's public works. They use it to build the walls of the city and you know, the roads, etc. of Yerushalayim. Now, kinin, Gemara, kinin, birds, hen torin. This is referring to the birds of turtle doves. For what purpose is she? Kinin and torin mima'ot shebo en lokin ela torin. From those boxes, you only from that box, that shofar, you only buy turtle doves. That's Gemara. Gozle ola. When it says in the box, Gozle ola en bene yona. That is doves. Okay. Vechulan olot. And all those, of course, are korban ola. Now, Devre Rabbi Yehuda. Now, right here, you see clearly, kulan olot. Whose opinion is that you only have olot and not chovaz? When it comes to kinim, Rabbi Yehuda. Look at Rashi. Kulan olot, Rabbi Yehuda letame. Ta'amar lo ayu shofarot lekinei chova. Right? Could you not have a shofar for kinei chova because of the tarovet? Continue the Gemara. Ki atar avdi miyamar. I'm sorry, let's just finish Rashi because the Gemara doesn't tell us about all those other boxes. So Rashi's going to tell us what those are. Ve'etzim ulbona v'zav dekaporet. What are these other boxes? Mefaresh masichet shekharim metnadev etzim. Guy wants to donate wood for the mizbeach. Noten ma'ot le'otos shofar. He puts money in that shofar. Ve'lo yifchot meshine gezirim. He has to put enough money at least so they can buy two pieces of wood. That's the minimum donation for wood. Ve'mitnadev levona. Guy wants to donate frankincense to put on the mizbeach. Mevi ma'ot. Ve'noten le'tok shofar lebona. Ve'lokhi mem lebona. U'maktini noten le'dabar le'mizbeach ha'chitzon. Good. Zahav la kaporet. What is the zahav for the kaporet? Hamitnadev zahav. Guy wants only gold to the kodesh. Noten ma'ot letok shofar velokhin mehem zahav lekli sharet. They wouldn't use it for the kaporet necessarily. They would use it for the different vessels. Then a mizlakot, the different forks that they would use. A kirim kaporet zahav. When it says zahav kaporet, don't think it's the kaporet of the Aaron. It's kaporet zahav, which in Aramaic could mean golden utensils or golden forks. So therefore, that was the zahav shofar. Now comes again, nedaba. What were the six boxes that were for nedaba? Lekayit samizbeah. Kayit samizbeah, we learned that what? The mizbeah always has to be flowing. Always has to have kurbanot. Now, on some days, there was busy days. So you didn't have to worry about kayit samizbeah. Other days were slow days. So you had to take money from those boxes and go buy korbanot and put them on the mizbeach. So Rashi says, "Lekaitz mizbeach latet tochan ma'ot." Now, shelokhin mikol haro'ot shel motar ashamot vechatat sheshaninu bem yirei v'yimacher v'yipelu damav l'ndaba. Rashi says, "How these boxes got filled? There were certain korbanot. For whatever reason, the halakha says you have to let them graze, let them get a mum, sell them." And take the money and use them for nedava. So you say, how did those six boxes get filled? Besides the private donations that people would come in and drop them into those six boxes. But a lot of times, a person needed these boxes because he had a korban hatat, for example. And a certain case of korban hatat, for whatever reason, he couldn't bring it. Let's say, metu ba'aleha. The owners died. Could you bring a korban hatat if the owners died? So therefore, in certain cases, you have to, let's say, let the animal graze. You get some womb, you sell it. Now with the money, you can't bring a hatat, put it in the nedava. Then the she's going to tell us, why did you have six? We need six. So that she says, continue over there. Ubeperek batrat menachot shisha shofarot keneged shisha batei avot. Remember, the Kohanim was split up into 24 groups. And each group was separated into six parts. Well, actually seven parts. Every day, another part of the group would work. Sunday, Bet Av. Mondays, Bet Av. Tuesdays, Bet Av. Right? So that she's going to tell us you had six shofarot for each day's group. Meaning, every group knew their shofar of Nidava. So what would happen? If let's say on Monday, the Kohanim that were there, for some reason it was a slow day, they would take from their designated shofar to add korbanot to the mizbeach. And then Tuesdays, they would take from their shofar. Hakamim did that. They didn't want mahloket. One group taking from another shofar of another group. So each group had their own shofar. Hence six. Look at Rashi. Rashi says, ופרק מתנת המנחות, שישה שופרות כנגד שישה בתי אבות, שבכל משמר ומשמר, וכל אחד ואחד מכיר את של יומו. Now every bet av recognized their day. The mayam is beach batel biyomo. She ain't ish mevi korbanot. As I know, one is bringing korbanot on that day. Lochin bene bet av ma'ot shofar shlahen. Velochin men olot. Vehu kaitzam is beach. Now shmamina miad lebiuda ite ketiba. Dektani vayya katuv alehen. You see what it says? All these shofarot, it says vayu katuv alehen. So Rabbi Yehuda, you do hold of signs. Understand these 13 shofarot. How do you know which one was what? It says they're right. This is Kinin, this is Gozli Ola, this is Zav Lekaporet. And we know Rabbi Yehuda holds like this. Rabbi Yehuda, because how do we know Rabbi Yehuda holds like this? Because he's the one that said all of them were Ola. The Kinim were for Ola. Because he's the one that says you don't do Kineh Hatat. So Rabbi Yehuda, you're the author of this statement, and you hold of signs. So if you hold of signs, so what's your problem with what's your problem first of all of why not put kineh hatat? I mean, you put kineh hatat as well. You worry about mix up? Why mix up? You hold of signs. So Gemara says ki atar avdi mi amar ami b'marava gezera mishum hatat shemetu be'aleha. Oh, you're right. When we said above, you don't put a special box for kineh hatat, doesn't mean because of taharovet that you're worried the kohen's going to mix up. Really, we're not worried about mix up. Really, if you put signs, the kohen will realize it, and that's not our issue over here. Oh, so what's the issue? We're worried, what's going to happen? The kohen goes to the box of kineh hatat. Who put it in there? Some guy that's chayav hatat, azav. Put his money in there, he went home. By the time the kohen comes to bring the Qurban, maybe the owner's died. If the owner's died, you can't bring it as a hatat. So he says, you can't put a box of hatat because you're worried that by the time it's sacrificed, he's going to die. Gemara says, what? Umi hayshina? Do we suspect that the owner of the Qurban is going to die? Va'tenan hasholeya hatato memedinat hayam. A guy sends a Qurban hatat from overseas. The guy was in China. He sends to the Beit HaMikdash a Hatat. What's the deen? Makribin ota be'askat shukayam. Hazakah says he's alive. You don't have to assume that he died. So just like you accept a Qurban from somebody overseas without suspecting he dies, you don't have to suspect that when the Kohen is going to bring the Hatat, kinin that the owner died. So the Gemara says, Ela mishum Hatat shemetu be'aleha vadai. You know what the case is? You're worried not that he might die. You're worried that he did die. Now what's going to happen here? Let's talk it out. You have a box, right? Each hatat cost 4 zuz. Okay, that's the minimum shi'ur of a korban hatat of the birds. Guy comes in, puts his 4 zuz in, goes home. Another guy comes in, puts 4 zuz in, box, goes home. The box is filled with zuzim for each person's korban. One of the guys in there, not maybe died, vadai died. I mean, the Kohen knows, they got the word, one of the guys died. Now what do you have in this box here? You have monies. Some of the monies are hatats of living people, which are viable. And some of the monies now, 4 zuz at least, are monies of a guy whose hatat is, he's dead. Now, which money is you going to bring? All the monies become pasul now. Because you don't know which monies are the dead guys. So that's what Rabbi Yehuda meant mipnei ta'arovet. Ta'arovet was what? In the box itself, you're going to have mixed monies of living and vadai dead guys. And there's no way to know which 4 zoos. Unless you'd hold of the principle of birira. Let's talk out what birira is. Birira would tell you retroactive kavana. Meaning like this. If you hold to the principle of Bididat, which literally means selecting, we would have an option to get out of this dilemma. By telling the coin, you know what you do? Just take out 4 coins. Take out the first 4 coins that come out. And we'll say that retroactively, those were the coins of the dead guy. Now if you hold the Bididat, no problem. So we're going to give it out. I was going to say, we know for a fact that Bididat does not hold the Bididat. So if you don't know the Bereira,
So just taking out four coins and saying these were the coins of the dead man and the rest of the coins in the box are okay, so you're stuck. So look at the Gemara. The Gemara says, why don't you just take out arbitrarily four zuz? Throw it in Yam HaMelech, because that's what you have to do with the coins. Right? And then the rest will be mutar. That's not an option. Because Rabbi Yehuda does not know the Berera. Now look at Rashi. Gezerah mishum chatat shemetu be'aleha. See Rashi? Shemem met echad min ha-be'alim shenatnu ma'ot b'shofar v'chemad yesh pehem chata'ot havilu ma'ot chatat shemetu be'aleha v'en olchot liyam ha-melech. What do you got to do with the monies of the guy that died? Let's see. Got to get rid of the money. V'nimsum me'uravot im ha-kesherot. But you can have it mixed up with cashier money. Ufostot otan. V'ayin. So that the Gemara says, what do you mean? We don't suspect of death. So the Gemara says, Shemetu be'aleha v'day. She'anu yud'im bo shemet mishinata ma'ol l'shova v'adayin lo korban. Right? V'nivror arba'a zuzeh. Right? Deme hatat. Okay. Then he says, let le'berera lo samchin le'berera le'mishle esura. So then the Gemara comes out that that's the reason why you did not have a special box, a shofar of kineh hatat. Not because he doesn't trust signs. We know he goes with signs. Hanayah, when the 13 shofarot that the Yehuda agrees to, they all had signs on them. He weren't worried about one thing to get with the other. He'll have to say, no, deme hatat is already a separate situation. Baruch Adonai Le'olam, Amen.